Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to today's episode of Financial Lifeguard on Duty. I am your host and financial lifeguard, Christine Lucan. I help people who feel like they're drowning financially get to a safe place and catch their breath, and then I teach them how to swim. Even if you're an experienced swimmer, it's still good to have a financial lifeguard on duty just in case the water gets rough. Today's episode is Getting a College Education Without Student Loans. The average college student graduates with over $33,000 in student loan debt. You know, many Americans accept this as being inevitable if they want a college degree and a decent paying job. In today's episode, we'll discuss ways to get an education with as little debt as possible. The very first and most important thing to do is to start saving for college as early as possible. So if you're a parent and you're listening in, it's very important that you make this a priority to start saving. I will say there is one thing we have to make sure we're saving in the proper order for things. First of all, I would like to see parents pay off their non-mortgage debt first and be putting at least 15% into their retirement accounts before they start saving for college. And there's a very good reason for this. First of all, when you have a lot of debt, it's very hard to save. And most people are paying a higher interest rate on their debt than they would be getting on an investment. That's why it's very important to get that debt paid off first. The other thing I say is, you know, it's important to save for your retirement first before you pay for your kids' college. And there's a good reason for that, because if you save for your children's college at the expense of saving for your retirement, what's going to happen when you get into your 60s and 70s and you don't have adequate retirement funds? You're going to have to move in with your kids. And I'm pretty sure that your kids would rather you not have contributed as much to their education, and therefore they would have to contribute some, versus having grandma and grandpa move in and not being self-sufficient in their later years. So make sure you do have your non-mortgage debt paid off first and be putting your 15% into your retirement accounts before you start saving for college for your kids. Now, technically, you can even start saving for your children's education before they're even born. Now, personally, I don't recommend that. I think you should at least wait until they're in this world before you start saving. But when you are saving for college education, you want to use tax-favored savings plans for this purpose. And there are two different ones. There is the ESA, the Educational Savings Account, or a 529 plan. Now, I like to tell people this. I do not sell investments. I do not do taxes, and I don't sell insurance. So what you need to do is go and talk to a good investment advisor about your options. They will let you know the pluses and minuses of the ESA versus the 529 plan. Also, your eligibility for these plans is going to be based in part upon your annual income that's reported on your tax return. So the very cool thing about these accounts, though, is that grandparents, aunts and uncles, and other family members can also open them on your child's behalf and or contribute to account for your child. So even if you personally are not able to set aside the maximum that's allowed in these tax savings plans, you know, you can have family members help you get to that maximum amount. I mean, let's think about it. When your kids are, you know, 1, 2, 3 years old, they're not really even going to remember what you got them for their birthdays. So rather than spending several hundred dollars on a gift for a child's first or second or third birthday, You know, give them a small toy. I mean, at that age, they like the box more than the toy anyways, and take the majority of that money and put it into an ESA or a 529 plan. Let's talk about some don'ts for saving for college. Do not buy a 529 plan that limits your investment options or that automatically adjusts the investments as your child ages. You want to retain the control over the investments within that 529 plan. So you want to be able to confer with your investment advisor over the years as your child ages and jointly make a decision on whether you're going to change up those investments or not. So don't leave it up to the product, because that's very common to have these 529 plans that as your child is younger, they're much more aggressive, but then they get extremely conservative a couple years before they're ready to graduate from high school. But that can really stunt the growth of that account. So just be sure you don't do that. You want one that doesn't limit your control and doesn't auto-adjust. The other savings vehicle you do not want to use for college is using savings bonds. I know this used to be much more popular when I was younger and in high school, that grandparents would buy you savings bonds and that would be put towards your college education. Well, the problem with the savings bonds is that the interest rate return on them is not keeping pace with inflation. So you need to be putting the money in an investment that is at least making more than inflation. Otherwise, the purchasing power of your money is actually eroding. So avoid savings bonds for college. The other thing that you do not want to do is prepaid tuition as a way of saving for college. What this does is this is going to lock you into a particular school or sometimes a particular state. And essentially what you're doing is you're saying, oh, I'm going to go ahead and pay tuition now in today's dollars so that when my child is ready to go to college, that they don't have to pay anything. Well, here's the thing. If you would take the money that you paid for the prepaid tuition and put it into an investment, you would have astronomically more money than the difference in tuition from now versus when your child gets into those college age years. So don't do that. You know, the other thing is what if your child doesn't end up going to a traditional four-year college? What if they don't go to college at all? Or what if they want to go to a different school or a school in a different state? Then all of a sudden you have essentially wasted that money. Or even let's just imagine, you know, you start doing this prepaid tuition when your child is 1 or 2 years old and, you know, your child's now 8, 9, 10 years old and your boss has just called and said you're being transferred across the country to another state and your whole family's moving with you, and now you have paid years into this prepaid tuition in the state you're living in right now, and now you're going to be moving hundreds of miles away. So I don't like prepaid tuition at all. I would much rather see you put that into some kind of tax-favored investment. So, okay, I know what some of you are saying. You're saying, well, that would be great if my child was 3, 4, 5 years old, but I have kids who are entering college now, you know, within the next couple of years, and it's a little too late for me to make up all this lost ground. So, you know, what about me? What sort of help can you give me? Well, there are ways that we can cut tuition costs and therefore drastically reduce or eliminate the amount of money that we need to borrow for college education. the first thing I want you to think about is to make sure that a traditional four-year college is the best option for your child. Now, if you've got several children, it might be a good option for one of them, but not for another. So I'll give you a very good example, and that is my brother and I. I went to a four-year college. Of course, it took me longer than 4 years to get my degree, which these days that is not, it seems to be the norm that it's actually the exception to get a four-year degree in actually 4 years. It took me 5.5 years because I changed my major. So I actually, for some reason, I thought I wanted to go into law enforcement, which now when I look back at that, is just makes me giggle. But after taking a semester or two of, classes in that law enforcement curriculum, I realized that was not for me. but I did end up graduating with my degree in accounting and had a double minor, a minor in business administration and a minor in psychology. But a four-year degree isn't for everybody. In high school, I was the nerd. I loved school. I loved to read. I loved homework. I didn't mind taking tests. And, studying came relatively easy for me. Now, my brother was not the same way. He really had a hard time concentrating. He found it very hard to sit still. And school was more of a struggle for him. There were certain subjects that came easier to him, and those were the ones that where the teacher was very hands-on. If it was, like a science lab where you're actually doing experiments and, being active and not just sitting there listening to the teacher, he did much better in that arena. So my brother actually did go to the same university that I did for one semester, and it did not go well. It was a very big struggle. He tried very hard to make it work, and it was just hard for him. And so my parents reevaluated the situation, and they said, you know what, we think a more hands-on education is going to be a better fit. And so they enrolled him in one of the local technical schools, and he ended up getting his 2-year technical degree in industrial electronics. And he did very, very well. And, the tuition for that school was a lot less than the 4-year college that I was going to. And they actually offered a lot of great co-op and work-study positions. So as he was going through getting his technical degree, he was also getting practical work experience. And so that ended up working out really well for him. So he ended up basically working on the electrical systems on machines for companies like Mazak and eventually my family's business, KRC Machine Tool Services, who retrofits and rebuilds very large machine tools. And so he did that for several years and then worked his way into sales. And now he is making more money than most of his friends who went to a 4-year traditional college. So, you really need to know your child, and, maybe your child doesn't want to be an accountant or have that traditional 4-year degree. Maybe they want to be a chef or an auto mechanic or whatever else. And it's really important that you look at the profession that your child is leaning towards and see what is the best education for them and their skills. Talk to people, especially HR people who are hiring for that particular job and see what they're looking for. Now, when I worked at my family's business, we did not care at all about having a four-year degree. You know, we cared about those two-year technical degrees, and we cared about hands-on work experience. And we would hire, you know, we would hire people with that hands-on technical experience much sooner than we ever would somebody with a college degree without that experience. So it's really important to evaluate what sort of education and experience is needed for that particular profession that your child is leaning towards. Now, the other thing we want to look at is in-state schools. In-state schools are always going to be cheaper than out-of-state schools. You know, when I was looking to go to college, I really wanted to go to Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. But when we looked at the tuition for Attica's, I live across the river in Kentucky, it was significantly more. And when we looked at me going to an in-state school, I mean, it was just a no-brainer. Yes, I would have preferred to go to that other school, but not for three times the tuition. So sometimes you do have to make some of those hard decisions about in-state versus out-of-state. Another great way to save some money is to take your basic requirements at an affiliated community college. So let's say you've got your sights set on a particular four-year university, traditional university. Almost every single school like that partners with a local community college to transfer credits. So you want to do your homework and make sure that credits will transfer. But a lot of times you can go to the affiliated community college and take your basics, you know, the math and the English and some of those basic requirements for your first year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years. And typically the cost is about a third to a half of what the traditional university is going to be. So like I said, be very sure that whichever community college you're going to take those basic requirements with, that it's going to transfer to that four-year university that that you know you're going to be transferring to. So that is extremely important to make sure that those credits will transfer. But like I said, almost all universities have some kind of reciprocal agreement with a local community college. So be sure to check that out. If your son or daughter is going to be going away to college, I mean, maybe they're even going in state, but, you know, it's 2 or 3 hours away. And so you're also going to be looking at living costs. Well, the one thing you want to do is you want to weigh on campus versus off campus living costs. And there really isn't a pat answer to this because it's going to depend on the individual schools and what their costs are for dorm rooms and housing. You know, many of the universities have a cafeteria or food plan. And so you really need to look at and weigh those options. Now, Dave Ramsey actually has a tool on his website, which is daveramsey.com, that can help you determine how to weigh those costs. So you can actually plug those different costs in, and it will help you determine which of those two options would be more cost-effective for you. One thing I will say is getting good grades in high school really matters when it comes to scholarship opportunities. So if your son or daughter needs some help in this area, it is worth the investment to pay for tutoring to get those GPAs up. Also, get tutoring for the ACT and SAT tests because a lot of times those are looked at for not just college admissions, but also for scholarship opportunities. And, you know, you can take those tests multiple times. I mean, if you know, the first time your son or daughter doesn't do that great, you know, you can go and get some tutoring and go back and take it again, because that might open up several thousand dollars worth of scholarship opportunities. You know, ask around as far as, you know, at the high school, and, you know, ask parents who currently have kids in college about where they found scholarship opportunities. I had a very interesting conversation just this week. I was speaking on this topic to a women's roundtable at my local chamber, and one of the ladies there actually has three kids in college right now, and, you know, she said there's a lot of little scholarships out there that are available, and typically you just have to have your child write an essay about, you know, why they want that scholarship, or it's on a particular topic. But she even said, you know, because she's got German heritage, that, you know, one of her kids was able to get, you know, $1,000 scholarship to go towards their current year tuition. So, you know, a lot of times we think, well, I can't qualify for this scholarship, and we're thinking more along the lines of, you know, full ride scholarship, multiple years. Well, you know, sometimes you have a lot of little scholarships that add up to offset the cost of your tuition, where you're not having to pay it all out of your own pocket. So look into that. A lot of times there's scholarship opportunities for sports, for, you know, heritage and ethnicity, also alumni, which I actually experienced this when I went to college. We found out because my mom had graduated with her degree in social work several years before I enrolled in the same university, that I was eligible to apply for an alumni scholarship, and I did that and ended up getting a two-year scholarship to the university for that. So be looking for those opportunities. You know, the other thing is, get a job. You know, college kids are able-bodied, and, you know, I think it's good for them to have some skin in the game. Typically, students who are paying for some or all of their college expenses are much more serious and focused about their education, and they want to get it done as soon as possible, because they don't want to have to pay any more out of their pocket than they have to. It's very interesting, because I have had parents say, well, you know, I don't want my son or daughter to get a job during college. I just want them to focus on their studies. Well, there has been research that has proven that students who have a part-time job of 15 to 20 hours per week actually get better grades than students that don't have a part-time job. And I think part of the reason why is that, you know, they don't have a lot of idle time to be out partying, and they learn time management and responsibility and good life skills. And obviously, if you can find them an entry-level job that is related to their field of study, then that is going to look excellent to an employer. You know, it shows they have initiative and work ethic, and they actually have some experience in that particular field. The other thing you can look at is finding a job that has tuition reimbursement available. Like I said, I had some scholarships going through college, but I didn't have a full ride. And one of the things that I did was I got a part-time job, actually at Citibank, doing collections, which is a story for another day. And I worked 20 hours a week, but I had 80% tuition reimbursement. And, you know, it was not a very fun job, I will be honest with you. However, that job helped me to graduate without student loan debt. So it's certainly worth looking into different companies that would offer tuition reimbursement to help you offset some of those costs. Now, the other thing you can do is to look at employment opportunities at the university that you're going to be going to. A lot of universities will have, internships and or part-time job opportunities, and sometimes they don't pay well or they're unpaid, but they may offer reduced or free tuition. So those are definitely worth looking into. I actually knew a lady who actually worked for me at the family business at one time, and she got a job offer to basically be, clerical secretary type job at a university. And, when she came in and gave me her resignation, she was really upset because she loved working for me and working for the company. However, the university was offering her free tuition for her children as one of the benefits to the job. And this wasn't a state school. This was a private Christian college where normally the tuition would be extremely high, higher than your average. And, she had three kids between the ages of, 15 and 9 years old. And so I told her, I said, you have to take this job. When you look at how much that tuition is worth to your family to stay out of student loan debt for your kids, there's no way you can't take this job. So there are still opportunities like that out there. So, I do want you to get an education. I want your children to get an education. I think it's extremely important. However, I want your education to be a blessing and not a burden. So be thinking about these different opportunities and, how you can get through college and get the education that you need in order to do your job without taking on so much student loan debt. I recently had a very young couple in their early 20s in one of my Financial Peace University classes. And between the two of them, they had $180,000 of student loan debts. And the sad thing was that, they had just gotten married and the wife was not even working in the field that she went to school for and got all these student loans, in order to get this particular job, and she wasn't even working in her field. So, I strongly encourage you to look into various ways that you can still get an education without spending so much money. So we are about out of time today, and I did want to just give you guys a heads up that I am beginning to do public financial wellness classes, and my first one is going to be the third Thursday in February, which I believe is the 19th, and that is going to be the budgeting basics class. Going to be at Indiana Wesleyan in Florence from 6:30 to 8. So if you're interested in that, please send me an email so we can get your spot reserved. We've only got about 30 spots available for that particular class. So send me an email at Christine, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, at ChristineLuken.com. So until next week, have a great week, and we'll see you then.